When was the last time you went fishing? If you're having a hard time remembering, you're probably not alone. Recent research from Michigan Technological University shows the overall number of people fishing in Wisconsin has been declining over the last few decades. But in a new piece for wiscontext.org, our guest says that's not the whole story, with women doing more fishing over time. Erin Burkett is a PhD candidate in the Department of Environmental and Energy Policy at Michigan Tech University. She's also the author of a new essay about fishing trends in Wisconsin. Erin, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
Well, big picture, what do you see when you look at the trends in the number of people fishing here in Wisconsin?
Well, what we're seeing is that really overall fishing participation rates have declined over this 17-year period that we looked at from 2000 to 2016. And we also saw that the total number of fishing licenses sold dropped. But something interesting about that drop was that it was offset a bit by increases in women's fishing participation.
Right. So over time, I mean, traditionally, I think people would assume that more men are fishing than women. From your numbers, it looks like that's true. But the number of men, if I have this right, it's going down. The number of women, it's been going up.
Yep, that's right.
So before we get into dig deeper into those numbers, this is important to non-fisher folk, too, right? Because the licenses, the fees people pay have a lot to do with how we conserve our water in Wisconsin.
Right, absolutely. So fishing license sales, just like hunting licenses, they provide direct financial support for the DNR and its fisheries management efforts, things like habitat restoration, you know, fisheries stocking, running hatcheries. There's a lot of things that that money goes into.
When we look at this overall decline, we'll talk about women in a little bit in particular, but when we look at the overall decline and the declining number of men fishing, what are some of the ideas about why those numbers are going down?
Well, there's a few ideas. So number one, there's simply a lot more activities that fill our day now than there were, say, 50 years ago. And so there's just a lot more competing for people's time. And in terms of outdoors recreation specifically, there's a lot of options. And fishing might not be the only way people are choosing to get outdoors. You can think about things like stand-up paddleboarding or paddling sports. And then there's also some evidence out there that societal attitudes more broadly towards wildlife are kind of shifting. So this may not be true for everyone, but some people may be more comfortable with activities like bird watching or just simply getting out and for a hike and seeing wildlife versus going out to fish or hunt.
What kind of things do we see when we look at different generations and their participation or not in fishing?
Yeah, so we've definitely found that people who are members of the baby boomer generation, especially the older baby boomers born between, say, 1955 and 1967, they tend to fish more than other generations. And one exception we did find is that among women, younger women born after 1985 are fishing more than, say, women born in the 1970s. But really, it's like the core group, and this has been shown in hunting as well as these baby boomers.
Let's look at the lifestyle of those who do fish. You, in your writing on this, you find that we kind of go, for someone who does fish, they go up and down over their lives very often. What kind of shape does that take?
Well, some people can participate, you know, they might start fishing as a kid, but then imagine, you know, things, different stages of life take over. So often we see a drop in participation at college ages because young people simply don't have as much time. Or for women, for example, when they're starting families, having kids, some, you know, may take their families fishing, but at first, you know, it might be a little bit much. They're participating in other activities that might be more easily accessible once you're starting a family. And then at older stages, you know, as people get older, you might have less physical capabilities to get around. So, you know, you might kind of stop fishing after a while. That's certainly not true for everyone. There's still dedicated older anglers out there.
We're talking to Erin Burkett from Michigan Tech University. She has a new report on about fishing in Wisconsin. You can find that at wiscontext.org. Erin, is there a concern that there could be a snowball effect if, you know, one generation fishes less than the previous one? Well, then they're less likely to bring up their kids to have that interest in going out and hitting the lake or river. And this could really keep going down over time.
Yeah, there's some worry about that for sure. A great example is, you know, if you don't have somebody in your life, an older mentor or relative, somebody you look up to that's showing you those experience, that may be one way you're missing out on being recruited into a sport like fishing. Luckily, the declines we're seeing in terms of fishing participation, they're really not nearly as dramatic as declines in hunting participation, for example. And you can, there's probably other reasons for that too. You know, fishing in general is a bit more accessible to folks. You don't need, you know, training comfort level with a gun, anything like that. So I think that's probably tying into why fishing participation, although we're seeing declines overall, you know, more women are coming along and fishing.
Aaron, have you seen efforts to recruit the next generation of people to go fishing?
Yeah, this is really big right now. So some of the work that I do looks at women-specific recruitment programs. So you may have heard the term R3 floating around. So R3 stands for recruitment, retention, and reactivation. And this is really, you know, state and national kind of movement for these programs that show people, really teach them how to get into fishing or hunting and help them become lifelong participants. So the recruitment is really that education stage, like, you know, hosting activities where people can try it out. And then the retention part of that is really, how do you keep them coming back year after year? So what is it going to take to, you know, build these lifelong participants? And then reactivation is really exactly like it sounds. So somebody who maybe fished in the past or for one reason or another hasn't been getting out there recently, how do you, you know, bring them back into the sport?
And then we had talked earlier, Aaron, about how conservation programs can rely on those fishing licenses. Are we seeing, say, state authorities starting to rethink how they do that kind of funding if they can't count on those fishing license numbers to stay up?
Yeah, I can't remember offhand which state it is, but there's definitely conversations about this. And one state I know is maybe even try to, you know, say instead of a fishing license, something like a bird watching or a wildlife photography hiking license. So traditionally, obviously, we've got anglers and hunters have been providing these conservation funds for years and years. If they're, you know, simply not participating at the same rates, there are questions about, well, is this funding scheme kind of, is it sustainable? Who else can we ask, you know, to support conservation in other ways?
And I want to ask on a personal note, Aaron, I'm one of those people who went fishing with my grandparents as a kid. I haven't picked it up as a grown up. Where do you fit into this? You research fishing. Do you go fishing yourself nowadays?
I do. I am one of those, I guess, occasional. So I guess for me, maybe I need to reactivate every once in a while. But I did go ice fishing this past winter. It was really fun. And for me, it is a life circumstance thing, you know, when I've gotten busier, gone off to school. Sometimes other activities take precedent. But yeah, same. I grew up with a family that hunted and fished, and I think that definitely is instilled in me, and I always kind of have it on my mind that I'd like to get back to it.
Aaron, thanks a lot for sharing your research with us.
Yeah, no problem. It was great.
That was Aaron Burkett, PhD candidate in the Department of Environmental and Energy Policy at Michigan Tech University. She was with us today to talk about what's behind a decline in the number of people fishing overall in Wisconsin, while the number of women fishing is going up. You can find her essay about that online at wiscontext.org.